Begin the current daf mesech, this Avin daf tzadi beis. We begin on the bottom line of tzadi aleph and beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, there was a machlekes in our Mishnah regarding the different domains, different areas that one is allowed to carry in regarding gagas, chatzeres, karfifas. One of the opinions was the opinion of Reb Shimon, who allowed carrying from gagas to chatzeres to karfifas, all in one circuit, they're all considered one domain. However, there was a machlekes regarding, which if this was only said when Shaloi Irvu, when the people of the Chatzar, the Batim that opened up into that Chatzar did not join in the Erev together, which was the opinion of Rav, because if they were to make an Erev, then possibly, which is very likely, they would bring their vessels from their home into the Chatzar, into the common courtyard which they had made an Erev, and therefore allowed to bring it out there. And now they might come to carry from this Chatzar to another Chatzar, which is generally permitted according to Reb Shimon, thereby carrying from a bias which is forbidden to take out to a different Chatzar. However, the opinion of Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan was that we're not concerned about that, as we find Rabbi Shimon elsewhere that he's not concerned for this concern. And therefore, even if an Erev was made in all the individual chatzeres, we allow them to carry from their chatzeres to other chatzeres, in spite of the fact that they were not Me'uriv from one chatzer to the other, because all chatzeres are one rishos, and we're not concerned they're going to come to carry from those which were taken out from their home into the chatzer, and then take it out from their chatzer into another chatzer. And that the Gemara asks on the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei Ravina Rav Ashi. Ravina said to Rav Ashi, we continue on the top of Tzadik Beis and Medalf. Mi Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Is it really true that Rabbi Yochanan said this opinion that halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, that we consider the chatzeris as one rishus even when they go ahead and make an erev, as Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan said that even if the chatzer joins together, we're not concerned that they're going to come to carry those vessels which they took from their home to their courtyard and then take it to all the other courtyards? But v'am Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'stam mishnah. We know this general rule that Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha follows a mishnah that's anonymous, that doesn't say specifically who the author is. Oh, Tanan, and we learned in the Stam Mishnah on Ayin Vav and Aleph, Kaisel Shabain Shtei Chatzeres, regarding a wall that's between two different courtyards, that's Gevaya Asar V'Rachav Abba, it's 10 Tvachim high, and it's 4 Tvachim wide. So the Mishnah says, Ma'arvin Shnayim V'Ei Ma'arvin Echad, that these two Chatzeres can only make separate Erevin, but they cannot join together, they are separated by this Rishos Hayacha, this wall that's 10 Tvachim high, 4 Tvachim wide, they're not connected, therefore they could only make separate Erevin and not one joint Erevin. Then the Mishnah continues and says, "Hayibereishay peris. If on top of this wall there was produce, elo oil mikan va'eichen. Those from this chatzer can go up on top of the wall and eat. The elo oil mikan va'eichen, and those from the other chatzer can also go up on top of the wall and eat. Ubavad shalay read lamata. As long as they don't go ahead and take the produce from on top and bring it down to the bottom. So what you see clearly from that Mishnah is, again, the Stam Mishnah, that one is not allowed to take from one chatzer to another." Now, if you say that when they are irvu, when you go ahead and you make an erev in your individual chatzah, that then it's also like Rav had said. So we can understand this case of that Mishnah, of the Stam Mishnah, that when is it going to be aser? When each one went ahead and made their own erev, then that's where even Reb Shimon would agree that one is not allowed to transfer from one chatzah to another, again, because of that concern. But now that you're saying like Rabbi Yochanan, that even when you go ahead and make your own erev, there's still no problem of carrying from one chatzah to another. So how are we going to understand this Stam Mishnah? How can you say Rabbi Yochanan says like Reb Shimon, even when you made an Erev, then what's the understanding of this Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, and the Paskins like that, where why wouldn't one be able to carry from one chatzah to another if it's even by Irvu, where he's not concerned that you're going to take from the Kalim from the Bayis to the chatzah, and then to the other chatzah, you should be allowed to transfer from one chatzah to another. So now the Gemara answers and interprets it a little bit differently. My Lamata, what does it mean one is not allowed to take down from this common wall that's between the two chatzeres, from the top to the bottom, that although we said that it should be permitted, because you could even take from one chatzer to another, it means lamata labatim. It means you can't take it down from the top of the wall to the homes of that chatzer. But you're right, you are allowed to carry from the wall down to the chatzer, because you're even allowed to carry from one chatzer to another, according to Rabbi Yechon's interpretation in Reb Shimon, and therefore that goes well with the Mishnah over there on Daf Ayin Vav, which says that one is allowed to, that although it says you're not allowed to transfer, it means to the bias, where even Reb Shimon agrees you're not allowed to take from a chatzer to a bias, because that's definitely different, but to Lamata, just to the Chatzah, would be permitted. And that the Gemara asks, how can you say this interpretation that Lamata down from the top of the wall to the bottom, that it doesn't mean to the Chatzah, rather to the Bayis, but Vartan Reb Chiya had taught as an interpretation of this Mishnah, As long as this person from this chatzar doesn't stand in his place and eat, which means to say on the ground of his chatzar, and that this person should, after he takes it down, go down and sit and stand by his chatzar and eat it. So obviously you see that even from in the chatzar it's aser. So again, we're back to the question. How could Rabbi Yochanan say that even by Irvu, Rabbi Shimon says it's going to be mutter from one chatzar to another? Then why on daf ayin vav, again, which Rabbi Yochanan holds the halacha is like a stam mishnah, is it aser from one chatz to the other, as Reb Chiya explicitly interprets, that's talking about that you're taking from the top of the wall to the chatzar, yet that shouldn't be us, according to Reb Yochanan's opinion. On that, the Gemara says, Amalei, so Rav Ashi responded to him, says, V'chi Rebbe loishana. Now, if Rebbe didn't have this nusach in our Mishnah, he didn't say that this terminology that Reb Chiya says. So Reb Chiya that he went and he organized this interpretation in the Braisa, and he was a Talmud, minayin loy, where would he get this interpretation? And that is really the answer I gave before, is the right answer. When it says the Isser in the Mishnah that Rebbe had put together, that lamata, it means to bring it down to the bottom to one's house, that you're not allowed to take it down from the top of the wall into the house. However, it's not a question of contribution because one would be allowed to take it down from the wall to the chatzar itself, because as he interprets in Reb Shimon, one is allowed to take from chatzar to chatzar even when it's irvur, and therefore there's no question. Now the Gemara quotes a machloikis that's related to the discussion that we just had, again, regarding this concern that when a chatzar makes an erev with all the houses, that although let's say this chatzar could carry to another chatzar, let's say based on Reb Shimon's opinion that all these areas are considered one domain, but we had a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan regarding would it change when there's an erev? Because then when you have an erev in this own chatzar, now the people from the bayis can bring it to the chatzar. So although the chatzar, the stuff, the start of Shabbos in the chatzar could carry to that other chatzar, but the kalim from the bayis, which is not allowed to be transferred from the chatzar, will now be into this chatzar, and therefore maybe we're concerned that maybe you're going to take from this chatzar to another chatzar. So the Gemara says, Itmar, we learned. Shtei chatzeres v'churva achas beinem. When there's two courtyards, and there's a ruin, that is a building that was destroyed, that's between these two courtyards. Now, it doesn't make a difference if it's theirs or it's someone else's, because as we established this, like Reb Shimon, that there's no difference in domains only regarding houses. That we make a difference who owns it. However, here we're talking about that it doesn't make a difference who owns it, but it's talking about a ruin, and it's talking about that it's not breached open to the Rishos HaRab. So we have this case, two chatzeres, and the churva between them. And the halacha and the case is talking about that achas irvu, one of the chatzeres went ahead and made an erv for the batim in its own chatzer, which then obviously that's what we had mentioned before. You would have the availability of the kalim of the batim in the chatzer because they made an erv and people are going to carry out their strollers or whatever it is from the house to the chatzer. Va'achas lo irvu, and one of the chatzeres, again we have two chatzeres on either side of the chur, but did not make an erv for the people of their chatzer. And this we have machlokes. Rav Huna says, so noisin oisa, you give the rights of the churva lezushalay irva to the chatzar that did not make an erev for the inhabitants of the bottom of its chatzar. That is to take the kalim that started off Shabbos in the chatzar. You're allowed to take them and carry that into the churva. And the reason being is because by this chatzar shalay irva, it's not common to find kalim from the house. That's in other words, the start of Shabbos in the house, since there was no erev made in this chatzar, so you're not going to be carrying from the bayis to the chatzar. So therefore, you could carry from the chatzar to the churva. We give it there the rights to them. Avalash irvo loy. But to the chatzar that went ahead and made an erev for the people in their chatzar, for them we do not give the rights of the churva to them. And the reason being is dilma osila fuki mani debatim churva, because one might come to transfer the vessels from the bayis into the churva. And that is, although you could carry from the chatzar to the churva, however you cannot carry from the bayis to the churva. And since they made an erev, and you're going to have the kalim from the bayis into the chatzar, so therefore we're concerned that if we allow you to carry from that chatzar to the churva, you might come to transfer the kalim from the bayis that now is in the chatzar to the churva. And this is the opinion of Rav Huna, who is a student of Rav, and that was based on what the halacha that Rav said was like Reb Shimon when there is no Erev. However, as we had mentioned before, that Rav says when there was an Erev made, that then Reb Shimon says, even Reb Shimon would agree that it's going to be us, and therefore that's why Rav Huna Paskin, that's only mutter for the one that Shalai Erev, but the one that Erev, it's going to be us for them to utilize the Chorma. However, Chia, the son of Rav, he says, he argues on Rav Huna. He says, Af l'sha'irvo. Even for the one that went ahead and made an Erev, and that is, in other words, what he said to Rav Huna, he says, I heard from my father, Rav, that his words were that even for the one that made the Erev, we give the rights of the Churva to them. And what does that mean? It means they're staying asuris. Now that we give it to both the one that made the Erev and the one that didn't, it means that they're both forbidden. In other words, he says the son of Rav, Chia, says, I'm going to explain. When I heard my father say that Af l'she'irva, it didn't mean that both of them are permitted to utilize it. It means that they're both forbidden. And that is, you're right, like Rav Huna said, but even more. And that is, not only is the one that made an Eir forbidden, but we're so concerned about this that we said that even the one that did not make the Eiriv, they're not allowed to transfer from their Chatzah to the Churva because we're concerned about the one that went ahead and made the Eir, which that's forbidden, as Rav Huna had said, which was based on Rav's opinion, that we're concerned that if you made an Eiriv, the vessels from your house might be in the Chatzah, which then might go into the Churva. Because therefore, if we allow these to take out from the ones that did not make the Eiriv, we might allow the ones that made the Eiriv. And if we allow those, we have the concern about they might be transferring Kalim to start off Shabbos in their house, and which is now in the Chatzar, and then taken into the Churva. But then Chiya Barav continues and says, V'im toimeh, and if you're going to say, look, all I heard from my father was the words Av She'irva. Maybe this that I heard from my father, that even for the one that made the Eiriv, my father was trying to say that not only is it permitted for the one that didn't make the Eiriv, which makes sense, that should be permitted, but it means even the one that made the Eiriv, that is, that Shtein Mutaris, that they're both permitted, and that is, my father did not make this Gezerah of the one, even for the one that made an Eiriv, that we're not concerned about the vessels from the home, which then are in the Chatzah, which then might be carried to the Churva. But then it's difficult for me. A contradiction in my father's own words, because on the previous daf we mentioned that Rav says the halacha is like Rav Shimon, and Rav qualified by saying v'hu shalei irvu aval irvu loy, that this is only if they did not make an Eiriv, but if they made an Eiriv, that's going to be forbidden, because he obviously holds that there is such a concern. So therefore he says, if I find this is what my father said in Reb Shimon, that Irvo is going to be a problem. So then, how do I would understand over here that they're both going to be permitted? Then why wouldn't I give the rights of the Chatzar that did not have the Erev to the Chatzar that went ahead and made the Erev? And what the explanation of this is, that even this one that made the Erev should be permitted to bring its vessels into the other one and to take it out. Because Rav, obviously, which is the way you want to tell me over here to interpret my father's words, did not make it forbidden in the Churva, even for the one that made the Eiriv. In other words, the explanation is as follows. That even if you're going to explain to me an answer, that Rav had said, Aval Irvoloi, the way he explained the words of Reb Shimon, that even Rav would agree, but let's say a Chatzar that did not make an Eiriv, that they could go ahead and carry their vessels even to the Chatzar that went ahead and made an Eiriv. Because it's not so common to have in the one that did not make the Eiriv, the vessels of their home, right? So therefore they could go ahead and transfer even to the Chatzar that went ahead and made an Eiriv. Now even though that they're transferring from the Chatzar Shalo Yerva to the one that made the Eiriv, where there it is common to have that person's vessels from his home because they made an Eiriv in their Chatzar, but that we're not concerned about. For the people that did not make an Eiriv to bring back from them into their own Chatzar, because generally what a person uses is he uses his own vessels, and he doesn't use his friend's vessels. So therefore you could say that although when a Chatzar makes an Eiriv, that's where Rav had explained in Reb Shimon's opinion that there it's going to be Aser, but regarding you could still have legitimate say and say that, however, the one that did not make the Eiriv would be able to transfer from them to the one that made the Eiriv and back to their own Chatzar. But what is difficult is that why did my father say that it's usur for the one that made the Eiriv to go ahead and transfer into the one that did not make the Eiriv? But here we see explicitly the way you want to interpret the words that af she'irva, that what is that? That both are mutter, that obviously you find that even by the chatzar that made an Eiriv, that we're not concerned about that you're going to transfer the vessels that were taken from the house into the chatzar and then into the other neighboring area, for example, in our case, of the churva. So why did he say in Reb Shimon that it's going to be usur to transfer from the one that made an Eiriv into their to take from their chatzar to the other chatzar, and which is Reb Shimon's opinion to the karfifas and mava and everything? Why is that? Here we find explicitly the way you would want to interpret it, that shnai af l'she'irva means that they're both mutter, even for the one that made the Eiriv. In other words, on some level is that he's saying that I could understand you would want to say that the Eina Irva would not be problematic even for them to transfer into the Chatzar She'irva. But basically his question is that, however, ultimately, the way you want to interpret over here by Churva is that you would want to say that both are mutter, because he's saying they're both equal. Now, what does it mean they're both equal? What's Af L'She'irva? I want to say they're both Asa. You want to say they're both mutter? How can you say they're both mutter? But that's contradictory clearly from the halacha that Rav had said in the previous daf in the explanation of Reb Shimon, that even if you want to say the Eina Irva is going to be mutter, but the one She'irva is definitely Asa, so how would you interpret that? And this, the Gemara says, that's not a proof. Regarding that question, we could say that in truth, that the way Rav is saying it, he was saying La'av l'she'irva is going to be the shtei mutars, they're both permitted. Well, that seems to be clearly contradictory, as Chia had proved from the previous daf that he had said it's only by any irva, but irva it's a problem. So on that, the Gemara responds, Hossam, over there, regarding Rav's interpretation of Reb Shimon, the previous daf, that was talking about between two different courtyards. And there, you're right, there would be concern if you went ahead and made an erev in your own chatzah that now you might take out the vessels from your home into the courtyard and then take it to another courtyard. Why? Kivin the mintri, mani de bata mechatzah. Because since the vessels of the home are protected on some level in the courtyard, I'm not afraid to take out my strollers, my bicycles, my different items into the development, because ultimately we're the only ones that use it. So asi lafuke. Therefore, there we are concerned that you're going to come to take out your stuff into your chatzah. Now that you take it out to your chatzah, you might take it out to another chatzah. And that is, when Rav had said, af l'she'irva, maybe it is that they're both mutter. Now, although we have that question regarding chatzeris, that why over there do we make a gzera? That's because since it's protected, the vessels in the courtyard, so it's more common that you're going to take out a lot of your stuff. You're just going to take it out. You're not going to even think twice. There we're concerned that you're taking out so many stuff from your house, the vessels in your house, and it's in the chatzer, you're going to confuse it with the vessels in the courtyard, and then you're going to come to take it out to the other courtyard because it's protected over there. However, hacha b'churva, here we're talking about a ruin. Since the vessels are not protected, the vessels from the chatzah are not protected over here, b'churva in the churva, you're not going to come to take out the vessels that you have, even if you brought out from the home into the courtyard, to take it out into the churva because they're not protected over there. The stuff you have in your home, you want to keep over there. And therefore, although there we did say that Rav was differentiating between irvu and shalai irvu, that by irvu, when you can carry in your chatzah, we're concerned you might take out those vessels to the other chatzah. Yeah, that's because regarding chatzeres, things are protected, even in other chatzeres. And that's why we're concerned you might come to carry it. But here, where we're talking about a churva where it's not protected, they were not so concerned you're going to take out the stuff from your home out there. And that's why, even by irvu, that's what he said, afshe irvu is mutaras, that they're both going to be permitted, and it's not contradictory from the statement that Rav had said in the previous stuff, and therefore, it's not a raya that had, and possibly you could say that af she'irvu means not only, like Rav Huna had said, that the one shelo yirvu is going to be mutter, but even the one she'irvu is going to be mutter, and again, it's different than the case of the previous daf. And the Gemara says similarly, ikad amri, that those that had a different version to the contrary, which was like the ultimate disproof of Chiya's raya in the previous version, although in the first version he said they're both forbidden. However, this version says, Chiya bar Rav Amar af l'she'irvu, when his father said that even for the one that had made the Erev, b'shtei mutar, so again, there's two courtyards on either side of this churva, of this ruin, that even for the one that made an Erev, that they're both going to be permitted. Now, v'im time, if you're going to ask me, as we had just discussed, shtei in the suras, no, it has to be when my father said, even for the one that made the Erev. That means that they're not only is one usher, but they're both usher. And the reason being is lefish te'ei noisnim chatzah shloi irva l'chatzah she'irva, that we don't give the right of way in the chatzah that did not make an Erev for the chatzah that had gone ahead and made the Erev. And that is, they're both going to be forbidden. And the reason is because we had heard my father say on the previous daf that aval irvu la, he said in explanation of Reb Shimon, that if one chatzar made an Erev, they cannot carry from their chatzar to the other chatzaris in that circuit which is usually permitted. Obviously, that even if you're going to push the limit of what my father had said to say that, oh, you know the one that he had said that it's usher, that's only, as he had explained, that's by when the one that had made the Erev, that's usher for them to carry their vessels into the one that had not made the Erev. But the one that did not make the Erev should be permitted to take into the one that made the Erev. But what you hear from that is ultimately that we do not give the rights of way of the one that did not make the Erev to the one that had made the Erev. So obviously, we are being geyser, at least, on the case of the one that had made the Erev, and that's how we explained the previous stuff, because of the ones that their vessels of their house are now going to be in their chatzar. So therefore, by the ruin also, obviously you have to say that the one that made the Erev, at least, is going to be forbidden. And when my father said that you give it to both, obviously has to be talking about that both are going to be forbidden. And that is because maybe that's what you're going to ask me. In other words, that's the question. I'm saying they're both permitted in the second version. Now, l'chair, it seems to be that, no, how could you say that? At least one's going to be aser, the one of irvu. Now, if they're both the same, af she'irvu, meaning both, even this one and that one is the same, so it must be that they're both forbidden. On that, he says, no. Hasam over there, it's not the same, because over there by the case of Chatzeres, which is what Rav had explained in Reb Shimon's opinion on the previous daf, Kivin the Mintri Mani Debata Mechatzah, since the vessels of the house are protected in the courtyard, so therefore you're not so concerned. Loishar b'hu Rabban and the Aslapuke. There is where Rabban did not permit a person to go ahead and carry out into the to carry from his chatzar to another chatzar because they're protected, just like his chatzar and the other chatzar is all the same. So we're concerned that you're going to come to carry out the vessels from your house. Av b'chur v'loy mintri, but by a ruin it's not protected, and therefore not only is it permitted shloy irvu, but even for the ones of irvu we're not concerned, which generally Rav is by different chatzaris. Because a ruin is different, things are not protected. You're not going to come to take out your vessels that were brought out from your house into the chatzar to the churva, and therefore they're both going to be mutter. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission. They're going to continue on the theme of roofs and chatzeres of gagas and courtyards. So the mission begins. Two similar cases. Gag gadol samach lekatan. If you have, let's say, two homes that are like attached like a T on some level, you have a large roof and you have a small roof. So the halacha is hagadol mutter. The large roof is permitted, and that is, what does it mean the large roof is permitted? They're allowed to bring up the vessels from their home, which is beneath their roof, and they can bring it up on the roof. And the people of the small roof don't make it forbidden, generally when you're breached from one area to another, which is, we consider these two areas as separate areas. This is his roof and this is his roof. So l'chayr, one should make it forbidden on the other. Here, the small one will not make it forbidden on the big one. And the reason is because regarding the big one, this breach that the top part of the T is open to the line, the perpendicular line of the T, it's not a breach, it's called a pesach, it's an opening. And the reason is because they're the sides of the T that are like walls, and therefore this is like an opening between these two walls, and as long as it's not more than 10 amis, it's going to be considered a pesach, which allows it to have its own area, it's not totally breached. However, the Mishnah continues, v'akot nasar, but the small roof is forbidden for them to bring up vessels from their home to their roof. And the reason being is because the people of the large roof make it forbidden on them, because the small roof, which is the line of the T, is totally breached. Their opening, there's nothing on the side for them that totally breached to the large one. And this opinion is according to everybody, because even according to a mayor, he doesn't say that roofs are one domain. It's only for things that had started Shabbos on the roof itself. But for vessels that started Shabbos in the houses below, that he didn't say that one could bring it up to the roof and consider all the roofs as one roof. Because similar to the second case of the Mishnah, regarding a small courtyard that's totally breached to a large courtyard, where everybody agrees that chatzeres, courtyards, are considered one domain, even according to the Chum. However, what we're discussing is regarding the vessels of the house, that's forbidden, that the larger chatzer makes it forbidden on the smaller one. So again, although Mayor considers all the roofs as one, so what's the problem about their breach one to the other? We're not talking about just the roofs itself. We're talking about bringing vessels from your house to the roof. That's a problem. Just like Chatzeres Achamold is one, but we're talking about taking from your house to your Chatzer. That is the Gedoyla, as we're about to say, will be permitted, but the Gitana will be awesome. As the Mishnah says, similarly, just like the case of the Gag regarding courtyards, Chatzer Gedoyla Shenifetzel Gitana, regarding a large courtyard that's breached and that's open to a smaller courtyard. So the halacha is gedoyla muteres. So the large courtyard is going to be permitted, and that means you could take out vessels from your home into the courtyard if you made your own erev, obviously, or if you're an individual and you're taking out from your bayis to the chatzar. And what the halacha is saying that the people of the small courtyard is not making it forbidden on the larger courtyard. However, gitan asur, but the small courtyard will be forbidden. And that's as we explain, because we view the smaller courtyard as the opening for the large courtyard. And since they did not make an erev together, so the larger courtyard is considered like it has the walls, which are like, again, like the case of the T, which is separating it from the smaller one. However, the smaller one is considered as if it's an opening, as if it's part of the larger courtyard. So therefore, they're forbidden. They're considered as part of the large one, which they did not join with them. And therefore, they're forbidden, as the Gemara will elaborate many different cases to show this concept that we view the smaller one as part of the larger one. So the smaller ones are considered connected with the larger one because they're even like an opening for the larger one. So they can't bring out stuff from their house to their courtyard. But the larger one, they're not considered part of the smaller one. To the contrary, they're blocked off, and rather the small one is part of them, so they could bring out stuff from their house to their courtyard. So now the Gemara asks, why do I need two cases of chatzar and gag? They seem to be the same concept about the large one being mutter and the small one being asr. And that the Gemara says that depends according to which opinion. L'Rav, according to Rav, that he doesn't say good asik when the walls are not recognizable. And that is, as we had mentioned in the previous daf, that let's say many houses are connected to each other and the roofs are like one big roof, we don't see the walls coming up. Although if it's a freestanding building, we'll view the walls coming up and that the top of the roof will be considered enclosed with walls as a reshus hayachid. But if you don't see the walls, if they're not recognizable, then we do not say good asik. So according to Rav, the purpose of why we said both cases was to compare the two. Ketani gag dumi dechatzah. We wanted to compare the roof to the case of the courtyard. And to tell you that ma chatzah min krim chitzasah, just like by a courtyard, the walls are recognizable because that's what a courtyard has. It has walls around it. And therefore, that's what encloses it and makes it as its own private domain. So just like there, av gag, that's the chiddush that we're telling you, so too by a roof, that although we permit regarding the walls of below from the house itself because of good asig, however, the qualifying factor is to compare it to chatzah, to tell you that nami minker mechitzasa, there also the walls have to be recognizable, that for example the roof should not stick out beyond the walls of the house, because then it's not recognizable. And if it's not recognizable, you don't say good asik. And there, in that such a case, where if the walls would not be recognizable because the roof extends beyond the wall, then even a larger roof would be asir because it doesn't have any walls. And whatever doesn't have a wall is not considered a reshus hayachid. And as Rashi explains, their roofs were flat and they weren't slanty. So again, so we're talking about this flat roof, if it stops by the same of where the wall goes, then you'll say good asik. But if it extends beyond, that's what we're learning from chatzah, is to tell you that it has to be recognizable, the walls. Now, according to Shmuel, the Gemara says, according to Shmuel, that he says, even if the walls are not recognizable, you're still going to say good asik. So then what's the purpose of saying both cases of gag and chatzah? It is to compare gag to chatzah for a different purpose. And that is gag dumi de chatzah, we're comparing the roof to a courtyard to tell you that ma chatzah, the kodarsi l'rabim, just like we find by a courtyard, where people walk through a chatzar. Obviously, that's what a chatzar is, a courtyard you utilize and you're walking on it. Av gag nami. The chiddush that we're telling you is that the halacha of our Mishnah, that this that we're saying that the smaller roof is going to be forbidden, is also only the kodarsi l'rabim. Just like chatzar, where they walk on it, so too it's only because on the smaller roof that they're walking on it from the larger roof to the smaller roof. And therefore, this wall that's from beneath, that's between the smaller roof and the larger roof, which we're saying is considered good asik and it's coming up, that wall is stepped on. That is why you can't say good asik in such a case, because you can't see it as a wall if people are walking right over it, just like we don't say the halacha of loved when we say gidi and baikimbe, that there are goats walking underneath it. You can't say that. As much as a virtual wall, you can't have things walking through it. However, that's the chiddush that Shmuel was saying. If people were not to walk over from the larger roof to the smaller roof, then even the smaller roof would be permitted. And that's because of the halacha of good asik that Shmuel holds, that even if you see it as one large roof, the buildings are separate, you would see as if it's virtual wall coming up, even if it's not nicker, and it would be separated by walls, even if it's covered and it's not recognizable. That is why we compared gag and chatzah, to say both, to tell you that just like by chatzah is that they walk on it, so too gag is that they walk on it, and that's why the small one is asur. But if they didn't, even the smaller one would be mutter, because it would not be breached to the larger one, because rather we have these virtual walls that separate it from beneath. So to explain our Mishnah, the Gemara says the following story. Yosef Rabbi Reb Zeirah v'Rabbi Rav Chanan, v'Yosef Abaye Gabayu, and Abaye was sitting amongst these three Talmidei Chacham, the Yosef Kamei, they were sitting and they were saying, Shema minam misnitin. What we can infer from the chiddush of our Mishnah is that diuri gedayla b'ketana, that we view the dwellers of the large area that as if they're in the smaller one. That is, they rule over the smaller area and they pull the smaller one to them. But ve'ain diuri ketana b'gedayla. But we do not view that the dwellers of the smaller area as if they rule over the larger one to pull the larger one to them. And the Gemara says ketzad. What are some cases to illustrate this halacha, which we find in our Mishnah, that we see that the smaller one is part of the large one, but the large one is not part of the smaller one? So the Gemara brings five different illustrations of this halacha to demonstrate what we're learning from our Mishnah. So the first case is gefanim b'gedayla. If you have vines in a larger courtyard, in a larger chutz, in a larger field, in a sada, also lizroya seketana. So you're not allowed to plant grain in the smaller field, and that's because of the halacha of klai hakerem. Because it's as if the smaller one is totally in the larger one. Now, this is even if you're going to distance 4 amas from where the vines are. Now, because although in the big field, let's say you have just one large field, you're allowed to distance 4 amas from the vines and plant to be zereach grain, Here it's going to be even worse. Here it's going to be forbidden, even though the smaller field is more than Dalai Lama's away from the larger one. Because that's what our mission is teaching us. That we view the smaller one, kipischa shel gedula, like the entryway of the larger one. And that is, we view it as one opening of the larger one. Therefore, we're going to say that you're not allowed to plant grain in the smaller one anywhere. And therefore, the imzara, if one did go ahead and plant grain in the smaller field, which is open to the larger field, which was where vines were planted, the grains are going to be forbidden. However, we continue on to Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, Gefanim mutarn, but the vines will stay permitted. So although Kalayim really is a combination of vines and grain, and we're going to say the grains are forbidden because we view them as if they're in the field of where the vines are, because the Ketana is like part of the Gedolah, but the Gefanim, which is in the larger one, are going to be permitted because we don't say that the dwellers of the small one, as if they're ruling over the large one, as if the large one's in the small one. And that is, it's as if there is a wall that's only in regards to the way the Gefanim are. In other words, we say that these Gefuf and these parts that are sticking out from the larger one, that's greater than the smaller one, are separating the. We don't see the larger one by the smaller one. We see it as separate. So the Gefanim are not together with the Zrayim. The Zrayim we see as if they are part of the Gefanim. So the Zrayim are Aser, but the Gefanim are going to be Mutter. And that's what we said on Amud Beis, that Gefanim Mutarim, the vines are going to be permitted, again, based on this principle. Now, whereas Gefanim Bikitana, if the vines are in the smaller field, then Mutter Lizroya Sagadela, you're actually allowed to go ahead and plant grain in the larger field, and there's no problem whatsoever. And the reason is because in regards to the larger field, we view the smaller one as if it's an opening. And anything that's called a Pesach, in a sense, means that they're separated, that there is a mechitza, or else it would be considered a pirtza, as if they're breached. Like we always say by the Gedolah. We say the Gedolah is like it's opening to the smaller one, but it's separate. An entryway is that we consider it walled off, but just as a way of entry between the two of them. So therefore, since we view this whole Pesach like a mechitza, even if you're going to plant right near, if you could plant the Zroyim right near the Gefanim, that is right next to the, because again, you have the Gefanim, you have the vines by the smaller one, you're allowed to plant by the Gedolah because, again, there is no problem. We don't see the Gedolah as part of the Gefanim. So therefore, you're allowed to plant right there by the wall because as if regarding the larger one, which is where we're planting the Zroyim right now, it's as if they're walled off and you're allowed to go ahead and plant right next to a wall. As the Mishnah Baba Basra and Daf Chavav and Manav says, that if there's a wall between two fields, then you're allowed to actually plant right up to the wall on one side and right up to the wall on the other side. And this is essentially that type of a case because the Gefan that's already there is by the smaller one. Now, what you're planting Zroyim now in the large one, we see as if walled off from the Gefan. So therefore, you're allowed to plant right up to the wall. Now Rashi explains, although when the Zroyim are going to get larger, so although the dwellers of the larger one, which is the Zroyim, are now going to be in the Ketanim, so although you're allowed to plant the Zroyim and they're not going to be Aser, however, at least the Gefanim should be Aser, because there we see the smaller one as if it's in the bigger one, says no, even the Gefanim are not going to be Aser. And that's why you're allowed to plant, even like a Tchila, the Zroyim in the big one. As the Gemara Menachis and the Tezvav Menav says, that there was an incident by somebody that he planted grain in the vineyard of his friend, and the story came in front of the Chacham, and they said that the Zroyim that this person planted were forbidden, but they said the Gefanim are Mutter. And the Gemara says, what's the reason? L'chayrit klayim, they're mixed together. So the Gemara says, because kamvis and luf, those are the types of things that the Torah said is forbidden. But other grains are only asa medrabban. So therefore, this person, so therefore, ultimately, it's only knas. So the one that did the iser, that is the one that went ahead and he planted the Zroyim. So what he had done, the Zroyim that he planted, that's forbidden. But the one that did not do any iser, the one who had his vines in his own vineyard, the Chacham did not knas him. So therefore, since it's only a rabbinic, it's a knas, here also, since this one, that he when he planted the grains in the big one, he did it permissibly. Again, because regarding the bigger one, it's as if it's walled off. So therefore, I'm allowed to plant there. So therefore, even if they're both his, the larger one and the small one, we're not going to knas him. Again, it's only a knas. And since it's a knas, therefore, we're not going to say that the vines from the smaller one, which we should view in here as if it's Aser, because he didn't do anything wrong. And then we said by the Rabbanans that when you didn't do anything wrong, where even in the case where it actually is Klein, when the guy had planted in that guy's vineyard, but he didn't do anything wrong, we didn't knas him here also, since ultimately I didn't do anything wrong, because regarding what I'm doing now is walled off. So even though regarding my vines that are considered as if they're here and they should be Aser, since I didn't do anything wrong, it's going to be permitted. And definitely if the smaller field is somebody somebody else's, and he had already planted his vines beforehand, definitely that would not be a problem. So this was the first illustration of this halacha, of that the katana, the smaller one, we see as if it's part of the gedayla. And whereas the gedayla, we don't see it as part of the katana, and that would make the difference about which one was first. If the vines were first in the larger one, and you're coming to plant the grains in the smaller one, that's going to be a problem. But if you had the vines in the smaller one, and now you're planting the grains in the bigger one, where we see it as walled off, that's not going to be a problem. Second illustration of this halacha is, isha b'gedayla. If a woman is standing in the larger field, the get b'ketana, and the get, the divorce document that the husband's giving to his wife, is in the smaller field. That is, the husband went and he threw the get into the smaller field. And both fields are the woman's. However, there's a shita, there's an opinion that holds a mesechtes gittin, daf ayin zayin mabez. Now this that we learned in the Mishnah, that if someone's zayri get l'ishta, if he throws the divorce document to his wife, and she's in her house, or she's in her courtyard, then she's divorced, and it's only if she's actually standing there at that moment. But if she's not there at that moment, although she owns that property, she would not be divorced, even though it's hers. So they're in such a case where she's in the, she has to be in that actual area, in that domain. So now she's in the larger courtyard, in the larger field, but she's not in, and the divorce document's in the smaller one. So there the halacha is, miskareshes, she's going to be divorced, because it's as if she's standing in the smaller one. Why? Because we view the smaller one as if it's in the larger one. So therefore, now that she's in the larger one, we view the smaller one as if it's part of her domain, so she's divorced. However, isha b'ketana v'get b'gedayla, if the woman's in the smaller field, and the get is in the large one, ein miskareshes, there she's not going to be divorced. Because we don't see where she is, which is in the ketana, as if the gedayla is part of her ketana. We don't say that that's there. If anything, she's there. Now Rashi says, wait a second, so if she's in the big one, so we should view her where the get is. On that Rashi says, no. Because the get is not acquiring the woman to say that, oh, we view her by the get. The woman has to acquire the get. We have to view it by her, not her by it. And therefore, since she's in the ketana, we don't, and that's maybe taking her there, but that's not good enough. We have to view it by her. And since the gedayla is not by the ketana, she's not going to be divorced. Third illustration of this is, tzibur b'gedayla. Let's say people are going to daven with a minion. And the minion, the tzibur, is in the larger field. V'shlich tzibur b'ketana. And the shatz, the leader, is in the smaller one. Then yoytzin dechavasin, they're yoytzin their chiv, because the shlich tzibur that's in the smaller one, we view him as if he's with us in the larger one. However, tzibur b'ketana, if let's say the tzibur, they're in the smaller one, but v'shlich tzibur b'gedayla, and the shlich tzibur, he's in the larger area, in yoytzin dechavasin, they're not going to be yoytzin their chiv of having this minion being led by the shlich tzibur, because we don't say now that we view the shatz by them. And that is because since the tzibur, where are they? They're in the smaller field. We can't say that the larger field's by them. If anything, we could say they're by him. But that again, as Rash has a similar svara, we can't say that we see them by him because we only see the smaller field by the larger field, because we don't say that the majority go and are pushed towards the individual, and therefore that's not going to work because we can't see him by them, because he's in the larger area. If anything, we view the smaller one annexed to the larger one. And although then we should say we see them by him, we don't say that we view the majority by the minority, and therefore they're not going to be yetzer. A fourth illustration of this halacha is tisha b'gedayla v'yochid b'ketana. Let's say we have 10 people, but 9 of them are in the larger area, and 1 of them is in the smaller area. Then halacha is mitzdarfen, we view them as they're viewed as if they're joined together, because again, that's in the smaller one is viewed as if it's in the larger area. However, tisha b'ketana v'yochid b'gedayla, if 9 are in the smaller area and 1 is in the larger area, ein mitzdarfen, we can't view them together, again, because we only view the smaller one as if it's part of the larger one, and therefore, so we can't view him as if he's by them. Now, although we should say now we see them by him, that's the same svara that we can't see majority pushed towards a minority, and therefore we view them as separate areas and they're not joined together for a minute. And finally, the fifth illustration is tzaya b'gedayla. Let's say there's waste matter that's in the larger area. Also, likris krishma b'gedayla, one is not allowed to say krishma if he's standing in the smaller area, again, because we view him as if he's there by the waste. However, tzayi b'ketana, if the waste is in the smaller area, muta likras krishma b'gedayla, he's allowed to say krishma by the larger area, because regarding the larger area, although there's an opening to the smaller one, we view that as if it's a mechitza, as if it's walled off, and therefore what's in the smaller one cannot ruin anything that's in the larger area, and therefore, although we view the waste by him, but ultimately they're still walled off, and therefore we view him as separate from the smaller one, if we want to annex, we can annex. But since it's walled off, it's not a problem. It's not going to cause any problems. And therefore, he could say Krishna in the Gedolah. So this was the five ramifications, so to speak, the illustrations of this halacha from our Mishnah that we find that the Gedolah has rule over the smaller one. And however, the smaller one does not have rule over the larger one. To the contrary, it's possibly even annexed to the large one. So Amalu Habai, Abai told to those three Amirom that were sitting around saying this halacha, which was from the inference of our Mishnah, and he says, wait a second, based on what you are all saying, what comes out is that walls, which generally create areas that permit things to create an area, are going to create prohibitions. Why? Shel Mali Ein Mechitza, were they not to be the walls, and that is, if not for these gifufim, as they're called, these addition, the parts that are sticking out from the top part of the T, which make the larger field larger than the small one, if they weren't there, and rather if the larger field or larger roof was equal to the smaller one, so then you would view them as if they're one chatzar. Now, if that's the case, if they were not walls and they would be considered as one chatzar, so regarding the first case of klayim, marchik dalad amos v'zereya, you would just distance dalad amos from where the vines were planted, and you would go ahead and plant the grains. It would be permitted to plant there because all you have to do is distance dalad amos. V'ilo hashta asur, but now based on the principle that we said, that now that you have these extra added on walls of the larger one, that we consider now the smaller one as if it's totally part of the larger one. So now that's going to make it forbidden to plant entirely in the area of the small one. So what comes out is that these mechitzas are making prohibitions. They're not being matter anything, because without these walls, I would view them as one large field, and one large field just distance 4 amas from the vines, and you plant the grains, that's okay. But now, in the a whole entire small one, even much more than 4 amas away, we view it as if it's totally in the big one, and therefore it's entirely aser. So on that, the Gemara says, Amli Reb Zeira Labaya. So what's the problem? Did we not find that walls that are coming in as a chiddush are only there to make things worse, so to speak, than making it a heter? But Vatnan, we learned in our Mishnah, which an inference can show this concept of what we're saying, that the mechitza could make things worse to make an iser and not a heter. Because we find our Mishnah said, Chatzar gedolei shenifritzu lekatan. If you have a large yard that's breached to a smaller one. So the halacha we said is, gedolei muteres v'katan asur. We said the larger one is muter because they're walled off and they just have like an opening. But the smaller one is forbidden. What's the reason? Why is the smaller one forbidden? Because we view it as if it's an opening to the large one. Now, this is what he proves. He says, "Ve'ilu hishve es kifufeo." Now, were we to go ahead and even out the extra added-on walls that are extending out from the larger one, and that is, let's say, and some Rashi's have this picture, that were one to go ahead and build walls inside the larger one, on either side where it extends larger than the smaller one, until it gets smaller to the exact measurement of the smaller one, which would essentially be removing these gifuf and these extra walls through these new walls. Now, what would these new walls be doing? Gedolei nami asura. If we were to go ahead and create these new walls, which is not the case of a Mishnah, it would make even the larger one asur, because now they'd both be equal. And therefore, what comes out is that these hypothetical new walls would go ahead and create an iser, because now we view them as totally breached each other. I wouldn't have the gifufim anymore to separate. So therefore, you see, from this hypothetical version of the Mishnah, it's only that the Mishnah says that the Gedolei is mutter because it has gifufin. Were we to add on these new walls, which would then go ahead and equalize the larger one and the smaller one, it would be aser. So these new mechitzas would create an iser. So what's the problem? You see, the mechitzas could create an iser. On that, Amalehi Abaya answered him, says, wait, hasam siluk mechitzasu. That would not be creating walls. That essentially, you're right, you're adding on walls, but essentially the reason why it's creating an iser is because it's a removal of walls. And that is, these later walls are removing the first walls, because now you don't have the gifufim anymore. However, regarding the case of Zri, which was the first illustration we had said, regarding when you had a vineyard and you're going to head and plant grain, what's going to make the problem is the addition of this gufufim of the larger one and the smaller one, because of an addition of walls, and therefore that's my problem. You're right, the case of the Mishnah, where the addition of walls would make it a problem, that's only because you're really removing the original walls, not because you're adding on walls. But the case that you're illustrating is the actual addition of walls, which makes the Gedolah separate from the Ketana. We view the Ketana as if it's an opening for the Gedolah, makes it worse than it would be if it wouldn't be any walls, because without walls, you'd be able to just distance Dalai Lama's. And now the whole entire smaller chatzah is entirely forbidden to the larger one. So Amalei Rav Labai. So Rav again tried answering to Abai's question, that Abai had this problem or so to speak, he was commenting on this and saying that you see that mechitzah are creating an iser. So Rava told him, don't we find elsewhere that walls can be there just to create prohibitions? But we learned, and we continue on the top of Tzadik Gimel and Aleph, if someone went ahead and put schach, he made a sukkah on top of a pavilion, which is basically like is like a type of an entryway, like a porch, so to speak, that has just a roof without any walls. That he made it, he went ahead and he put the schach instead of a roof. He went and made schach on top of this pavilion that has four poles generally. That now when he went ahead and he put the schach on top of it, which as Rashi explains, the case over there is talking about, where there are two kosher halachic walls on the length of this pavilion, and it's made like a mavi which has these two walls. Now by the third wall and the fourth wall, you have these poles, which generally that's how this achsadja is made, which has four poles. You have poles on the corners, which each pole has a tefach. On that, we said the halacha over there, that kashera, that is going to be kosher, as the Mishnah in Masech, the Sukkot, the Vav and Av says, that as long as you have two kosher walls, Shtayim Kelchas, and the third wall, even if it's a tefach, it's going to be kosher. So therefore, over here, where you have two kosher walls, and you have the four poles that generally hold up the roof, now you don't have a roof, you're putting schach on it, so you have these two walls. Now the pole itself over here is a tefach. You have on either side, you're going to have on the corners these poles, that's a tefach. Oh, so you already have your third wall of a tefach. Now this is where Rava demonstrates his answer to Abaya. Now, ve'ilo hishva pitzumeha, were one to even out these pitzimen, these posts, and that is, were this person to go ahead and build two walls inside, next to the original two walls, which comes out that the pitzimen, these posts that are on the four corners of this achsadra, would be standing between these two walls, the old wall, which was behind the post, and now the new wall, which is on the inside of these posts. Now, inside the achsadra, these posts would not be visible. What would the halacha be in such a case? Pesula. Then this sukkah would be possible, because now you only have two walls, because you don't have any more this wall of a tefach on either pole, because you had up until now the wall on the outside of it. Now in the inside, you see this as a third wall. But now that I'm creating a wall on the inside, on either side of it, creating new walls, now in this sukkah, when I'm looking, I only have two walls. I don't have a third wall of a tefach, because that's on the other side of the wall, which was on the inside of the old wall. So you see that a chiddush of walls could create this. So what's your problem? Some of the Abayas said like this, is Lidi Dik Shera. First of all, I just want to tell you that according to my opinion, that case that you're trying to show that new mechitzah would create an iser, it's not true. I hold that when those two new walls would be added, that sukkah would still be kosher. Because I argue, I knew, regarding something else, that even if there is no walls, there's halacha of pitikur yarib b'saisin, that we view the, so to speak, the mouth, the opening of the roof, as if that's the beginning of a wall. A roof has some thickness. There's something there on the side. We view that wall, that roof, as if it's a wall, that the edge of it, and as if it comes down. And therefore, a general achsadja, they go ahead and they have poles on the top, which connects the four posts from one post to the other. And therefore, on top of that, which is what they usually put the roof, so those kairos have what's called a peh. It has a somewhat of a wall. The thickness of the roof is like a wall. That edge, since it's not round, rather it's square, I would say that it would be kosher, because again, you have two kosher walls, and now you have the edges. We view them as two virtual walls, so it would be a kosher sukkah. But even l'didach, even according to your opinion, that you're saying that, wait a second, you don't agree to me on pitikur yarib b'saisin, and now that you're adding on these walls, you don't have any more of these petzimin, and therefore you see that you have mechitza le'isr, that the new addition of walls would be a prohibition, you don't see that over here. Because the reason over here is, see, look, mechitza, see, similar to how we answered before, these new walls are not really new walls. The reason why they're creating an isr is because they're removing the old walls, which were the petzimin, which were there on the inside of the first walls. Now, by adding on these new walls, what you're doing is that you're removing them. Oh, that's why it creates an iser. But just creating original walls, original mechitzas, that you don't find anything. And that's Abaye's comment that he's saying, that it seems like from your first illustration that what you're doing is you're creating walls that are there just for iser. Now, the two cases that you told me, Abaye said, they weren't mechitzas le iser. They were, to the contrary, though, it's really physically adding on walls, but essentially the reason why they're creating iser, because they're doing what's called siluk mechitzas, they're just removing the old walls that were there.